Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Welcome to a very special Books and Beyond show, because today marks the start of Cook Islands Language Week. With me in the studio to celebrate our language and our culture are three extraordinary ladies, Vaine, if I pronounced that correct, girls.
Yes.
They all work at Auckland Libraries with me and are also Cook Islanders.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud to introduce Angelique Tuaputa, Melissa Manapuri and Martin Ngari.
Yay!
How cool is this, girl?
Very cool.
Very cool. So before we start chatting about the books you've brought along, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're from and what you do at Auckland Libraries?
Kia ora everyone and thank you. My name's Angelique Tuaputa. I am from the islands of Mangaia, which is the southernmost island in the Cook Islands. And I have ties to Rarotonga from the villages of Arurangi and Titikapika. So yes, I'm the Senior Library Assistant Pacifica.
Yay! And where are you based?
I'm based in Henderson and I cover the Henderson Massey Local Book.
Yay! West is best. Mati.
Kia ora ana everyone. Tōku ingoa ko Mati Nini Ioana Ngāri. No te enua rarotongo mai au. Tōku papa e tangata rakaanga. Tōku mama e Vaine Atitaki. Kia ora ana everyone, my name is Mati Ngāri. I am from the island of Rarotonga. My father is Rakaangan and my mother is Aititakian. I was born and raised in Rarotonga and coming from the village of Rotonga, which is the capital of the Cook Islands.
So she says.
And I am a library assistant in the communities team. Shout out to Central City Communities Team and Central City Library.
Yay! And I want to add that Marty's father is my first cousin.
Yes.
Director of the Meteorological Service
in Rarotonga. Yeah.
Yes. A very important man. All those tourists who visit Rarotonga on a regular basis or going there for the first time, the weather is all important, isn't it? And he does a great job. Melissa, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Melissa Manapuri. So my mum, she comes from Waipukoro, Papa'a. And my dad, he comes from Aitutaki. So my father is Daniel Manapuri, my mother is Judith Manapuri. And I was born and raised in South Auckland. So I grew up in Hapatoi. And my role in the libraries, I am the Senior Librarian Pacific Collections, so I work in the collection management team in town. So I'm based in town, but I go out to all the different libraries across Auckland and help the staff do all their collection management.
Wow, that's a really important job. Thank you. You know all the books in Auckland.
Pretty much, you know.
I love passing your desk and seeing what treasures you have beside you there. So they're just lovely picking them up and touching them. Well, regular listeners will know that my father hails from, born in Rakaanga, so I say I'm from Rakaanga Manaaki, and my ma is Papa Kiwi from Auckland. That's a bit about me. And I host this show regularly with Karen Craig, Books and Beyond. So it's so fantastic to have you here, Metaki. Thank you, girls.
Thank you for having us.
Do we know how many Cook Island librarians work at Auckland Libraries, by the way? There's four of us here today.
There's probably eight all up, if I'm right. I think there's possibly eight of us.
Never done a head count. So yeah. I only know eight,
so.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic for the Cook Island community, because I think we are the second largest Pacific community in New Zealand,
after the Samoans.
So it's great that we're well represented in the libraries. I'd like to acknowledge all the Cook Island Library, Cook Island librarian colleagues who can't be with us today in our four-person studio. So, of course, Auckland Libraries has a Pacific collection, which is books, DVDs, CDs that Melissa knows so well. They're about the Pacific and from the Pacific, I guess. How would you describe a Pacific collection? Melissa, your best
it's
qualified.
Varied. It depends how far back you go. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that was done at the time. You know, it was of its time in the early 1900s, and a lot of that is kept in our heritage collections and in the basement where we keep our stack, all our precious books. And then there's also our current stock that we have out in the libraries now, and we're trying to create some future material. So,
yes. Oh, cool.
So Can't wait to see them.
Yeah. Thank you. So, who wants to go first, talking about the book that you've chosen from our Pacific collection today? Well, let's call it the Cook Islands collection today. Ange, do you want to go first?
Yes. I'll go first. So, the book I've chosen today is called Soldiers from the Pacific, and it is by Howard, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, I think it's Weddell or Weddell. And I came across this book a few years ago, I think 2 years ago. I was doing some research on my ancestors who served in World War One, and I was looking through to find a specific name, and it happened to be the name of my great-grandfather, Ngaumitua Vaivaiomo, who was one of the 500 Cook Island soldiers who served in World War One. And
wow,
he was in,
a lot for such a small country.
I know, and I had no idea. I knew the name, but I wanted to do some research. So I came across this book, and pretty much the book is about 1,000 or so men from across the Pacific who actually contributed to serving in World War One, assisting the troops in the New Zealand Army with ammunition and stuff like that. My great-grandfather, who is my mum's grandpa, was in the 3rd Contingent, and when I looked at the name, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. I was like, I didn't even know that. And the author, what he's compiled in this book is really important information about who these soldiers were, their stories, what happened to them. It shows their army record number. So my great-grandfather was a private. And along this journey reading this book, I actually found my other great-grandfather on my mum's side.
Wow.
Te Wira Tarai. So, for those who know me, my family come from Māngai on both sides, both my mum and dad, and those two great-grandfathers of mine, they both served in the same contingent. So I was like, oh my goodness,
wow.
Like, it was so cool. So
brothers in arms.
And reading through this book, I was able to see that these soldiers travelled from Palestine to Egypt, to France, and they came back to New Zealand. They actually trained in Naranik, which is not, I think it's in the shore.
Yeah, Naranik. Devonport there, yeah.
Yeah, so they trained there for quite some time. And when I was looking through the book, it showed me the boat they went on. So they sailed on SS Manuka. And I don't think people really know the backstory about why these soldiers served and, you know, why or where they served.
Yeah, their contribution to the war. Mm.
Exactly. So just a brief summary. When I did look through this book, it just kind of linked me towards the National Archives, which is where I found those two great-grandfathers of mine and their army information. So inside it has all the, it has their signature and everything. I was like, oh my gosh. I said, if it wasn't for these two guys, literally, I wouldn't be alive.
Yeah.
So, you know, going through and reading this book.
It's, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so big ups to Howard for his research.
It's, yeah, and to you too.
Oh, it's just amazing.
Super Snoop researcher and the archives.
In the archives. So, Mal, no, we need to keep this book.
Yes.
So definitely. Yeah, it pretty much provides the history of soldiers in the Pacific, their contribution to World War One, and how that impacts us today.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that with us today.
No, that's
Anne.
Fine.
And anyone, I guess if anyone else is wondering about their grandfathers, you know, this book is probably a very good start. Yeah. So, who's going next?
I think it's me.
Marty, what have you got for us today?
Just before I start, I just wanted to add on to what Angelique said about the war and the men that fought in it. When I started working at the libraries, I actually found my grandfather, who was Tua Iwi Mose, and he served as well in the same contingent going over. And
we thought our connection was working at the Auckland Libraries.
Actually, it was before that. And so what I didn't know is that he had ridden a story about his trip over and his, you know, time in the war and all that, but it's unpublished. But my mom managed to get a copy of it, and so I was reading it the other night. I just wanted to add that.
Well, I'd love to read that too. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
How do we get it published? We've got to do something, don't we?
Yeah.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
We can connect the dots.
Yeah.
So cool, Marty.
Yeah, but that's my 2 cents to your book. And so my book is Patterns of the Past, Tattoo Revival in the Cook Islands by Therese Mangos and John Utanga. And I chose this book because the first time I came across it was when I started in the library. I'm planning to get a tattoo, an armband. Oh. And so I thought it's best that I research what I put on my body because I wanted to be as traditional as I could have it. And so I thought this book would be a really good, you know, starting point for it. And it's more than that. Like, when I started reading it, I came across a lot of patterns and what they meant and the symbolic, you know, meanings behind them. And it wasn't just something that people just went in the olden days and just put it on their body. It linked them to their ancestors and, you know, to the land they were on and so forth. But I feel like the book also, you know, allows us in this day to understand the traditional practices of old. I know that Pacific Islanders have a strong oral tradition, and so for tattoos to come so far to where it is nowadays, it's amazing to see that, you know, that it's out there and a lot of people are getting it because they know the symbolic meaning. And this book is something that I know will help others as well out there who are looking, you know, to, you know, have a tattoo with traditional meaning, linking them back to the ancestors, the land. Because wherever you go in the world and you have a tattoo, or you have, you know, you always have that link to your culture, to your heritage, to your ancestral land and so forth.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marty. Because I think, would it be fair to say that in the Cook Islands, the art of tattoo was almost lost for a while? I remember, I don't recall seeing family members with a traditional tattoo when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I know in Samoa the tradition has been retained, but it's really good to see it back in the Cook Islands.
Yeah.
Another way of telling our story, or recording our stories,
yeah, exactly.
Isn't it? Yeah. So I actually remember going to the launch. John Utanga, one of the authors, a journalist at Tangata Pacifica. Mm. So we had the book launch at the Tab shop when it was in Mount Eden.
It was a huge
affair, yeah. And it made me think that, you know, we need some more publications out there.
Yeah.
Because I like going to book launches. But, you know, I can't recall. There was Martini a couple of years ago, the cyclone of the story of Cyclone Martin that went through Manhiki in 1997, which unfortunately took the life of my brother and many other family members. And it's a fantastic book. And I think that's the last publication I can recall. I don't know, Melissa, you might know more, but we need more.
Sounds
we need
right.
more. Come on, you writers out there. Mal, what have you got for us today? Oh, hang on. You've got a treasure from the basement yes. for us.
Ooh! Ah!
Treasures from the basement! I bought a couple of them. I was going to talk mainly about discoverers of the Cook Islands and the names they gave. So it's quite a detailed historical account almost of how they came about with their names. And it goes through each island individually. There's only two or three pages per island, but it goes into quite a lot of detail, both the Cook Island version of how they got their names and then when the Europeans when they came over and heard their pronunciations and how they wrote them down and then how it's been carried through. But then we got distracted by this other book, which I also bought, which is called Paraku Tita. And this spoke to my spirit. It spoke to me on a spiritual level. Did it really?
In what way?
It's a children's book, by the way.
So, my dad started taking me back to the islands when I was 18. I think that was my first visit to Aitutaki and to meet all my family there. And the way of life there was quite different to how I had been raised in Auckland. And I just remember hearing my auntie say a lot, "Tukirunga ko I tita," to my cousins. It's for those who know, and that's why everyone's laughing, it's all about breaking leaves.
Breaking leaves, yes. Yeah, so yes. Every morning the frangipani, beautiful flowers drop, overnight drop on the ground, and every morning we clean
it
up.
We have to clean it up. It's so relatable. It's so relatable. Like, how many of us have been told that so many times?
If you want to play, you got to do this first.
Good God, you didn't do that first.
Yeah. Thank you, Mal. Yes, we all relate to that story, don't we? So, thank you so much for sharing these pearls of the Cook Islands from our library's Pacific Collections, girls. That's just lovely stories. Thank you so much. And remember, listeners, that they are all available to borrow or read at a library near you. And if it's not in your local library, it can be brought in for you. So remember that. But we're here. Let's start talking about Cook Islands Language Week, so which has been celebrated in New Zealand since 2012 and always the first week of August. Why is this? Good question. Well, in the Cook Islands, it is Te Maiva Nui Week, the big celebration. When I was growing up, it was known as Constitution Week. And so that's the clue. It is the time when Cook Islanders celebrate their right to self-governance. We were a colony of Britain and then a dependent territory of New Zealand until 1964. So in typical Cook Island style, a whole week is needed to celebrate.
Of course. And then a week party, guys.
Yeah. So I recall many a times visiting Rarotonga and watching the float parade through Avarua. And I think the whole island comes out, not to watch. I think they're all on the floats, actually, and the tourists are watching. And then there's the song and dance competition at the National Auditorium. It's an amazing theatre of culture and costume on show. Has anyone ever participated in any of these events?
In the crowd, yeah.
I've
watched a couple.
By shouting. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, there's the food.
Oh, food. We just had breakfast, guys.
But, Ange, you want to talk about Cook Islands Language Week in New Zealand, don't you?
Yes. So, in 2016, the theme was set by Auckland, focusing on the views of Cook Islands young people. In 2017, it was set by Hamilton, gathering the views of our Cook Islands women. And this year, the theme for Cook Islands Language Week was set by the Christchurch community, focusing on the views of our Cook Islands men. They had workshops provided for coming up with the theme, and this year the people that participated in that raised some interesting views about young men and how they have an effect on the future generations of Cook Islands people. So the theme this year is Kia ngāko parau kia rangaranga tū tō tātou reo Māori koki airani. Be proud of our reo Māori koki airani and protect its future. So I thought that was a pretty cool theme that they came up with this year. In the past, they've had different themes that relate to the constitution back home and self-governance. I know last year, the theme back home of the Cooks was something about the village and the food of your village, food of your island. So the kai o tō matakainanga. That's what it was. So something along those lines.
So going back to sort of more traditional foods.
More traditional foods and stuff. So this year they've kind of aligned the theme with what is actually happening socially within not only just New Zealand but within different areas of New Zealand. So I'm really excited for the theme this year. It's so fitting for us because before we started talking about preparing for Cook Islands Language Week and talking about marketing, our poster image that we chose is of
Angela created.
Is of Papa Chicken George. Many people in the Cook Islands community know him as George George, and he is the...
Does he compare the Cook Islands stage at Pacifica every March?
Polyfest. And he is from Manihi as well, so and he's from South Auckland too, so it's really fitting that we actually put him in the poster before we even knew the theme. I think it was a sign.
I think
it was a sign. So that's
check,
really
check
exciting.
Check out our poster in your local library during Cook Islands Language Week. It brings a smile to the face.
It makes you happy.
So, so here today, so we're talking about our language, right? So which of us here today can speak Koki Arani Māori? I'm putting my hand up first to say, sadly, I can't.
And I second that.
I can say, kare mone.
Which means no money.
Which my dad taught me.
I can speak Koki Arani Māori, but being raised in, when I was younger, it was, Rarotonga is English first island, and so I was raised, you know, speaking English predominantly, and so Māori was kind of like lost, but my parents still spoke it and I answered back in English, but now I think I regret that the most. But I can still speak Māori, but I think I'll be more comfortable speaking English than I can relate to that.
You opened our show for us today. It is
important though. I can speak Māori, but I think I'm one of those people that choose to speak it when I feel comfortable. So if I'm at home with mum or dad or aunties and uncles, I will speak. I was brought up to speak it from a young age. I think as I grew older, I got cheeky and
because you two were both born.
I was born here. So
you were born
here. I'm New Zealand born. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But yes, I know people think like, "Oh, are you from back home?" I'm like, no. But
you've retained so much of your culture because you're also in a dance group, aren't you? She's super talented.
So my dad's family, they're very cultural. And the group that I'm a part of was originally called Te Re Anui, which was founded by my dad's late sister and her two children, my two cousins. And now that she's passed on, they've renamed the group to O Moana Nui. Shout out to my team. Yeah.
So this is a dance?
Yes, performing arts dance. Yep. So we do a lot of the drum dances, the action songs, which we call kaparima. And one of the things that I remember growing up and hearing my dad say is, me kare to o reo, kare aue ora. So which means if you don't have your language, who are you? And stuff like that. It's choosing to speak your language. I'm even nervous speaking it now. Like, it's weird, but it's a safe space to speak it, and probably afterwards I'll probably fall back.
I think that's
circle
what the...
We're all in the circle, guys.
I think that's what the theme of Cook Islands Language Week is actually saying to you and to Marty, you know, be proud. Yeah. Be confident and speak your language, and inspire those of us who can't. Yes. And so, actually, you've got to give a plug for your group. Who's performing where? Your group is performing during
Cook Islands Language Week. We will be performing, I think, in South Auckland. We'll be performing at the Atu Hall. I know that there's a big celebration that's happening there, but it really depends on where we're booked to perform. We usually get booked probably every weekend, depending on the availability of dancers and drummers. But I'm just like, I just go there to retain my culture and not be so plastic when I feel like I'm going to turn plastic. So, yeah, I'm like,
oh. So humble. You're a drummer. Yes. We already said that you're a drummer.
Yes, yes. And I used to dance, drummer. But as you can tell now, I can't dance now.
Good on you, girl. We're so proud of you. So, well, I think we're running out of time for our section on talking about our language, because we're going to put talk into action. To close the show today, and we're going to read a poem in Māori and English. And because we're Cook Islanders, we're also going to sing a song in Māori, led by Ange, who's brought her ukulele with her. We're going to try and sing our national anthem. But first, Māti is reading Your Language, a poem by Kauraka Kauraka, a Cook Islands poet who I admire. He wrote all his works in English and Kokiarani Māori, and also in the Manikin dialect, which is my father's home language. So, Māti.
Okay, so tō o reo. E akaperepere I tō o reo. Nā te atua I oronga mai I te reira. Auraka ki a ngaro tō o reo. Ko te poiri a ea koe I tō o tū Māori. E api I tā au tamariki ki tō o reo tupuna ki a ora koe. So this is the English version. So your language. Treasure your language. It is a gift from God. Preserve your language so you may know your true Māori nature. Teach your children their ancestral language to live.
That's nice.
It's beautiful, isn't it? And that's a good way to finish our show, I guess. But actually, we haven't finished. There's more. So I want to say, before we sign off and start our song, thank you, everyone, for listening in today. Thank you, my beautiful guests, for coming along and sharing this half hour with us. I hope...
That's fast.
I know, doesn't it? We need another show.
Time flies when it's fun, guys.
But I want to say to all the listeners, I hope you enjoyed our talk about our warm, friendly islands with the warmest, friendliest people.
Thank you.
Warmest, friendliest librarian.
And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have enjoyed bringing it to you. So we just want to sign off by saying...
Ka kite.
program was brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/books and beyond. Every day.